Let's talk about yoke fellows. This is a very interesting word. It has nothing to do with marriage, this particular Greek word. It just simply, it pretty well is self-explanatory, yoke fellow. A fellow that you're yoked with. You know, God taught in such a way that if you are pretty close to agriculture or the ways that things were done, you kind of had an advantage. Because if you've never driven a yoke of something, you really, there's a lot about yoking up that perhaps you don't know. Now, I was fortunate or unfortunate enough, I don't know which to say, to work teams, you know, of horses and mules. And we were talking about this yesterday. I always felt wrong to put a mule with a horse, you know, and just to team them up. It's just not a team. But I've driven some pretty good teams that one was a mule and one was a horse. But what you do, you take a double tree, which means here's the tongue of the vehicle, whether it be a plow or a wagon or what. And the double tree goes way out like this, and then there's a place to fix a single tree if you're driving one span. And that single tree also is freewheeling, if you know what I mean. And either the trace chains, or if the trace chains, were called tugs if they happened to be leather. And man, if you could afford leather harness down to where even the tugs were leather, you were somebody. You know, you usually polished those black. That was Sunday stuff there, you know. That was go to church type harness. But when, if you had one person that was a little bit, one animal that was a little bit lazy, when you'd say, ho, go, ho, get up there. You know, well, if one of them was sitting there asleep, it'd jerk him clear back into the wagon or the plow, you know, and the other one's pulling forward, you know, and it's boom. And I mean, I'm just curious, how many of you have ever seen or actually had happen to you what I just mentioned? All right, well, great. I'm not alone in here. It'll get that mule or horse's attention right real quick, like if they were sitting there batting gnats when they should have been listening to the boss. And then it could get complicated, too. You know, if say you had a two-bottom plow and you were putting a three-hookup, three horses, well, then that old double tree couldn't be a double tree. And I'm sorry, I can't even remember what the name of it was, but it went out as twice as far on this side and had two single trees on it. I'm sorry, it went only half as far out this way and had another double tree and then a real long one. And this one horse, you know, evened up for the two because of the leverage. And I suppose what I'm trying to say is leverage has a lot to do with it when you're yoked to somebody. And Paul used this term basically only one time. It's used a time or two in adjectives as an adjective, and we're going to get into that a little bit. But it's a very special word to me. And I want you to open your Bibles to Philippians, just after Ephesians, to Philippians, the 4th chapter. And this word, yoke fellow, as you'll find it there in the third verse of that 4th chapter, is really snodzugos, sodzugos. And it means a yoke fellow. It means belonging to a pair, belonging to a pair. And in belonging to a pair, if you trace that all the way back to one of the primes, for it has more than one, it comes from the word son, just like your boy in English, only it doesn't mean that. It means union or completeness. Now, and you might say, well, why would we be talking about pairs? Well, let me ask you something. How did Christ send the disciples out? He sent them out by twos. How many witnesses will there be in the end times in the last hour? Two witnesses. Or if there be two witnesses, it makes it so. So it's good to have a helper. And again, I repeat, this word does not have to do with marriage, for though Paul is addressing two feminine subjects, he was not married to them. They were helpers, fellow helpers, yoked and pulling evenly That's another point. When you're yoked to somebody, it's got to be even. It's got to be 50-50. Or it just doesn't work out. You can even apply that to your marriage if you like. If you've ever driven a yoked a pair, if they don't pull together, it's bad. It's over. It's trouble. It went boink, you know, and somebody's really getting shook up in the action of this. To be thrown back while you're asleep is quite a jerk, and it causes quite a commotion. There have even been a few runaways been caused by that. If you wake them up too sudden and find out what's happened, they take off real fast. So it is with those you work with. Now, thanks be to the Holy Spirit, our Father gives a little bit of a shock absorber between the yokes, for He does not intend that all people do the same thing and to the same volume or with the same vivacious attitude. He has hooked us up whereby the whole thing works smoothly, and we all have our own load, and we all pull it, and things go real smooth. So, in this Philippians, in this fourth chapter, I want to cover that where this is just really the only place this word is used in such a descriptive way. Let's pick it up in that third verse, and let's just go with it here a few verses and understand what Paul is talking about. And ultimately, we'll come to the point, what does this mean to you today? And verse 3 of 4 Philippians reads, "And I entreat thee also," I want your attention, is what he's saying, "true, not imitators, not claimers to be, but true yoke fellow." Beautiful word. "True yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel." They were a great assistance to Paul. "With Clement," that means mild, "also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." What's Paul telling you? First off, these yoke fellows, simply because they have a yoke on, why do you put a yoke on? To carry a load. In Philippians chapter 4, you put a yoke on to carry a load. That's why you wear a yoke. You don't put a yoke on to look pretty. You don't put a yoke on to graze in the pasture, if I may use that analogy. You put the yoke on or collar because you're going to work. There is a toiling chore that Adam must till the soil or whatever, till the vineyard, plant seeds for God, which is to say His Word. So don't ever forget that. You don't put a yoke on for Christ just to look pretty. A yoke isn't pretty necessarily. It's to accomplish something. And when people team up, they always get a lot more done. In certain cases, then we're going to talk about one type person would rather do it all themselves. You know, and sometimes there are things we'd rather do all ourselves, we think. But stick around till we get through, okay? Verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Rejoice why? Because He's just told you if you put that yoke on and if you do something about it, you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you're written in there, that means your name is on the church record that lasts an eternity, right where it's supposed to be. That's pretty good going. That's where every Christian, if they really understand our Father's Word, that they wish to be entered. They want to be on that line. You want to be in that book of life. So, how do you get there? Work. So you're saying we get there by works alone? No, faith, grace, it all fits in. But I'll tell you what, friend, you go out here and get you 40 acres and don't just pray to God and live by grace. And tell me how you're going to eat that winter when you didn't plant anything, you didn't can anything, you didn't do anything. You're going to be a beggar before the winter's over, or you're going to town and get some of this pre-canned food. You know, I wonder sometimes, my dear old grandmother, what she would think if she saw, you know, we didn't used to go to the store. We went to the cellar. This is Oklahoma. All right. We went to the cellar, and, man, you walk in there, and here's our grocery store. We got pickles and kraut and beets and pickled peaches. And I remember grandmother used to stick those cloves or whatever you call them in, those old peaches, you know, they just popping out there. Ooh, man, you know. I mean, you don't have a grocery store that can put out food of that quality, you know. But you worked at it. I mean, when that corn was in or the cabbage, you know, you had to get that old cabbage shredder down and pack her and turn it into kraut or whatever you were going to do with it, you know, and shucking corn and silking it and cutting it off the cob and canning it. Oh, that was work. But boy, was it good eating. Well, kind of that's the way the Lord's Word is, too. If you want His blessings, when the season's in to gather the harvest, you want to work at it a little bit. And, boy, it makes the winter so good. So, yeah, I go along with these people saying, grace is all is sufficient for me. Well, grace means unmerited favor, and that means when you mess up and repent, you don't merit it, but He's going to forgive you, but that still doesn't put food on the table. You got it? Now, I'm speaking in a spiritual sense, but, beloved, that's just about the way it is. And I've seen people go all through their life saying, I wonder why God doesn't bless me. And they never work. They don't have any blessing coming. They by their account, it's zero. All right? But they got grace. Well, that's wonderful. Let them have grace. That's beautiful. Get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life by wearing the collar just a little bit. And I'm not talking about a clerical collar either, okay? Okay, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's coming soon. It's going to happen. And when this was written, and in that relationship for every person, it was soon compared to the millenniums of time. This is not a long segment of time. Mainly for none of us, it's going to last too much over 100 years. Because we're going to go back and join Him and wait for the rest, see? Okay, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. This is a problem we all have. Let me translate it this way for you. Be anxious for nothing. You know what anxiousness does? It's about the closest cousin to worry you could ever walk with. Worry, worry, worry. Oh, I just love to worry. I must because I spend all my time worrying. I really don't. I'm a pretty carefree type guy. Anna does the worrying for both of us. And plenty of it, too, for both of us. And it's a good thing she worries about it. It must work because it never happens, really, anyway. She gets a stop put to it. No, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Hey, that's quite a mouthful, my friends. Let your request be made known unto God. Now, a lot of people, they'll come up and they need... Well, let's see what they need. They need a job to get some food put on the table for the winter, and they just go up and say, Father, I want it. I want it because I need it. That isn't what this said. It said, don't worry or be anxious for nothing, and in everything, everything means everything you're concerned with. That covers all. That's a catch-all. By prayer and supplication. Supplication is kind of where you think about it, you meditate on it, and you get out that old thing that you park sometimes called common sense and dust it off real good and use a lot of common sense, all right? It's the most valuable thing you've ever possessed is the common sense God has given you, all right? And with thanksgiving, that's so important. You might say, well, I'm out of work. I ain't got nothing to be thankful for. You're breathing, honey. You're breathing air, and it's His. And you can be thankful for it. Your pump's still going, maybe. You've got a lot to be thankful for. And you that have families, you've got each other. Hey, you don't know sometimes how precious that is until maybe you're alone. Your family, your relatives is the most precious thing. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can call them fellow and yoke servants, and there are some genuine. But if you think one of us is going to stand by you like your family does, you're kidding yourself. Because blood's thicker than water. And they'll drop you like a hot rock. Most. If it really times get rough, and they could. And they're going to take care of their own family. And if you've destroyed yours, family, where are you going to go? The most valuable thing you had, you pooped it away. I don't really know what that means, but that means destroyed it or something. You messed up, all right? So, take care of your family and be thankful. Boy, if you don't have even a good friend, is a lot to be thankful for. Do you understand what I'm saying? Friendship and relationship is so precious. And in God, He's our nearest kinsman, and in Him we're all wired together. But I'm saying your own personal family. You rich, all right? So, then, after that Thanksgiving, go to God and say, I really thought this over, Father, and there are about three places I think I can try, and maybe you put the thought in my mind, and maybe you've already helped me, and I'm not knowing it, so I'm going to go ahead and thank you for it in advance, and I'm going to get out there, I'm going to put the yoke on, the collar, that's called getting a job, and I'm going to hit it. And you'll be successful. God will see to it. His promises are good. All right? I hope you understand, this is probably one of the most basic sermons you'll ever hear me preach or teach. But it's important that we back up occasionally, go back to the old days, look at an old double tree, how she'll snap against the wagon box if somebody goes to sleep. It can get somebody hurt. And it can in Father's work, too. All right? Verse 7. And the peace of God. Understand, underline in your mind the word peace and the word God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You may not understand, beloved, which one of those things that came into your mind God has already blessed. But His peace passeth all that you could ever understand. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through the way, the path that is set forth, you will be successful. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to worry. You're going to make it. But you got to want to work at it. You got to want to put that collar on and be thankful before you get there. I guarantee you that you're going to make it. You know, in my younger days, when a position came up, I really wanted. I had a real favorite saying. When I came to that part I had no experience in, I would always be honest and say, I've never done that particular thing before, but show me one time and I'll have it. And I'll work real hard at it. You'll be proud you hired me. You know something? There are very few jobs I ever applied for I didn't get. Very few. Because I was, hey, I can do anything anybody else can do, you know, as long as it's manual labor, all right, or whatever. Now, there may be, if you ask me to write a computer program like old Doug, I'd say, well, give me about 10 years, and I'll do it. But it's going to take a while. Okay. You understand what I'm saying. Man, I mean, don't let the world and the pressure that's come being put out now get you down. If you have a friend that's in one of those depressed areas where unemployment is 9%, it's 3.2 in Northwest Arkansas. They have cars nowadays that have wheels on them. And you can move, you know, and go where the work is. I'm just saying, nobody can stop you if you make your mind up to it, all right? God will show you how. All right, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. What is truth? What's true? What is that? It's the Word. In other words, anything you wonder whether it's truth or not, you can gauge it by this rule that you have right here in your hand. whatsoever things are honest, always, always be honest, especially when you're dealing with your brothers and your sisters. There are times when in bartering, it's very honest to just, you know, to barter for the best you can get by with. As the old Scotchman said, rather than be cheated, me boy, cheat just a little bit yourself on the short corners, you know. When you're bartering, it's not dishonest to talk your mule up. I mean, how do you talk a mule up? You just tell his good points. You don't tell the bad ones, okay? I'm jesting in part, okay? But enough said, and the word to the wise is sufficient. Be honest. The reason I'm saying that, and I'm going to insert, perhaps this will be a digression, I don't know. The reason I say that is many pastors and many pulpits put a guilt trip on Christians that they've got it, whatever you do, tell the bad points, all right? Tell the bad points of anything you're doing, and be sure and be beat rather than take advantage of somebody or be fair with somebody. Okay? So you kind of got to use common sense, and honesty is to be truthful, all right? Whatsoever things are just, that means upright. Absolutely. It means upright. Now, I must add that in this word just, I've never sold a car or a horse. And I've sold a few horses. And I sold one once that ended up with the New York Police Department that I could have sold locally, but I'm an old cowboy from down around New Mexico, the Bell Ranch, and I was running about 400 head of cattle and timber. And you've got to have a good horse to do that. I mean, or to keep cattle out of timber, you got to have something that'll jump, and it would hurt someone. So, you know, if you weren't an experienced rider, he was a cat. He would jump out from under you before you could say, sick him. So, and I've always been honest in that. But I felt like what I had enough good points that it made up for that. So be just as well, okay? Whatsoever things are pure. What does pure mean? Unadulterated. Keep it simple. Don't mix things up. Keep it pure and keep it in its path. Keep it in its way. The pure truth. We have a word in the South that goes plumb. Make sure it's just plumb all right. Or he went plumb over there. It was plumb over. Well, that comes from the use of the old plumb bob. You know, these carpenters use these plumb bobs to make sure they got everything straight and aligned. It keeps you straight and aligned and pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. There are so many things lovely in this world that we overlook, that we don't take note of. A family's love, a grandmother's love. If that isn't the loveliest thing I've ever seen in my life. Or the love of a man and a woman for each other. That's just absolutely lovely. It really is. Or the way nature itself, as you see animals befriend each other and be kind to each other. That's lovely. And when you see the parched old ground out there and the summertime and the lawn or crop, the corn or whatever is just wilted. It's already by nature turned its leaves in and is trying to protect everything it's got. And God releases a shower on it and it freshens up and you can hear it growing. That's absolutely lovely. What I'm saying is there are so many things in this life that are lovely if you'll take the time to appreciate them. Whatsoever things are of good report. That's kind of interesting. I hope you realize how deep these things, that for the yoke fellow, that he's taking you here. Of good report. In other words, you might say, well, what I'm doing is right, but they're saying this is wrong. Well, then do something about it. Have a yoke fellow stand up and witness for you the fact about what you're doing, whereby it gets a good report, if possible. And understand this. You might say, well, there's no way I can please everybody. I have a neighbor that I want, he's just, I want to be just with him when he won't. Well, he's not your neighbor then. if he's bad-handing you, he's not a neighbor. He's only a neighbor because he lives next to you. But if he's a jerk, he's a jerk. All right? God never told you to get along with jerks. He said, get along with your neighbor. That means somebody that'll neighbor with you, that when you go on vacation, he brings in your newspapers and vice versa. You help each other out. If it looks like a thief is coming in your house, he calls the police or he gets a 2x4 and goes over and says, can I help you? All right? You know? But God never said, get along with a jerk. All right? If there be any virtue, that means valor. The ladies would be angry at me, I suppose, if I translated this from the Greek, because they were probably male chauvinists back then, too. But be that as it may, in the Greek, the word means manliness. All right? That's valor. All right? I guess the men thought pretty highly of themselves, and that means people that would do good things, all right? Protect everybody. Protect the neighborhood. Well, that's true. That's still good. There's nothing wrong with that. If somebody, I don't care if it is a jerk, if he's falling in the fire and you can reach in there and get him, jerk him out, you know? All right? That's where valor comes in. And if there be any praise, and there always will if you keep your eyes open and see how wonderful life is. Think on these things. Meditate on them. You know what that means? That means take a little time. Take a little time. Don't get so busy and anxious that all you can think about is your job. You're going to miss out if you do. If you're the type of person that is over-anxious, you set aside 30 minutes a day. 15. I'll settle for 15. Pick it early in the morning or in the evening or whatever time where it's quiet. And think on these things. Just look out and look around. Look at the sky. Look at the ground. Look at your neighborhood. Look at some children playing. And think on these things. And enjoy life just a little bit. Just say, this is my time. I'm setting it aside to praise and to enjoy God's creation. And do it. All right? And pretty soon, you know what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you, before you set that 15 minutes aside, pretty soon you're going to be fudging. You're going to be taking 15 here and there, and pretty soon you're going to be able to do everything you could do before and enjoy God's creation most of the day. You're going to be a different person. So don't let Satan get you in a one-way slide that is called worry. Are anxious, enjoy yourself. Enjoy life. And if you're yoked to most people, one of the quickest things they'll unyoke you for is, you know, they come and say, how are you today? So, God, have you got about a half hour? A half hour is a long time. And every time you see that person, it's going to be the same thing. Oh, Lord, it's bad. Bad, it's getting worse every day. Unyoke from that rascal and let him go for a little while and help him learn how to appreciate the better things, all right? Okay. Now, where'd we get to? Verse 9 here? Yeah. Those things which ye have both learned and received. One thing to learn something, something else to receive it into your mind, to know it's a reality. And heard and seen in me. Me who? The Lord. As well as the writer. There's one of the biggest little words that was ever created. What about it? Do. Now let me read that all together. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's what you put a yoke on for. This goes back to that verse of yoke fella. Do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. If you don't do it, what does it say will happen? Nothing. The only subject is if you do. God's peace shall be with you. Beloved, that's probably the hardest lesson in the world to learn, and the simplest. Do it. Do those things with the yoke on. Work at it, and the peace of God will be. Do it. Do those things with the yoke on. Work at it, and the peace of God will be with you. You will have peace of mind. You will be a happy person. You will be successful. You will get the breaks. Does that mean that my job is going to look like a bed of roses? No, I didn't say that. I said you're going to be successful. Thorns will scratch you. And work will make your muscles hard and firm. And a big job will always look like a big job. But do it. And when it's finished, you feel all that much more successful. We're going to talk about that a little bit. God never promised that He would take the job away. He more so promised, do it, then I'll bless you. All right, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. You missed the chance to show it. Well, that kind of drifts into a different thought. We're going to stop in that particular reading. So, what do we put a yoke on for? Now, again, but before we say, what do we put it on for? Yeah, that's good. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Before we talk about what do we put it on for, let's discover what the yoke is that he's talking about here in the spiritual sense. What this yoke is in the spiritual sense. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Christ has just stated in this statement that the Father has turned everything over to Him. He's totally in control. And verse 28 of the 11th chapter reads, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, did it say, "All ye lazy bums that are living on grace alone, come on in to me"? That's not what He said. Didn't say that at all. I got news for you. He doesn't want them to come unto Him until they're ready to work. All right? He loves them and everything, but He's no different than you are. Hey, if you've got a job and you need help doing something, are you going to call on one of those people that say, not by works, friend, not by works. Sit down with me and let's palaver a while. You're not going to take him along to get something done. Or if the going's rough, you don't even want him around. All right? Ye that labor and are a heavy burden, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's a promise. And there's no one knows what rest really is other than someone that is burdened or laden. All right? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, I hope you can absorb all that's said in it. You really can't learn of him until you put the yoke on. That's what he said. Put the yoke on, and then you'll learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm humble. I'm easy to understand. I'm very simple. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Not just the flesh that gets sore when labor is put forth, but your soul itself is going to have peace of mind. So, my friend, in a sense, you find Christ is that yoke that you put on. When you put Him on, what is a yoke for? A yoke, if you took a poor old oxen or a horse and you just tied a leather strap around his neck and made him, or a chain, and made him pull that plow, it would cut into the flesh and eat him alive. But with a yoke makes it light and easy. The yoke is designed to work with and to do work without it hurting you. So when you put Christ on, I don't care how big the job is, He promises you, I'm going to kick the rocks out of the road for you. It's going to seem easy, though you may dread it. It's going to be easy when you do it with me behind you. And don't you ever believe that God can't change your lot. He can't. He can give you a bucket with a hole in it, or He can give you a bucket that's so secure and tight that everything you harvest is going to be in the cellar all winter until you're ready for it. But if you kick against Him without His yoke, He'll give you a bucket that's what a sane bucket for minnows. All right? You ever picked one of them up out of the water? I mean, she's got little old water just squirting in every way, and you got nothing. So when you put, I'm using that as an analogy so that you understand that when you put Christ on, I don't care how big the job is, He didn't promise it wouldn't look big. You'll be successful at it. And it'll seem easy, and you'll have peace of mind when it's all over with. I'm going to go one more verse, and then I want to throw another analogy at that. Verse 34, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke doesn't weigh much compared to what the chain would if it cut clear through your shoulders. Christ said, I don't weigh much. It doesn't cost anything to carry me around. And I've already forgot what I was going to add to that. I don't cost much. I weigh much, so it doesn't hurt much to carry me around. Okay. But our Father can or cannot make things easy for you. He does that. And in serving Him, it is ever so important that you gain peace of mind. That's what He instructed and penned the entire book of Ecclesiastes. So that you could be happy in this chunk of meat, flesh. So that you would know how to conquer it. That you would know how to live in it. But that's what you put the yoke on for, Christ. To keep your burden from choking you down. To keep you from being unsuccessful. But to let you be happy while you're doing that most people consider toil. You see, God put a curse on Adam, or cursed the soil, and it's hard. The ground and the earth is hard. Farming's hard. But when He gives you the tools, it can be made pretty easy. And it's a beautiful thing, the smell of soil when it's first turned, and so forth. It's much better to enjoy what you're doing. I am dead set against anyone ever remaining in a profession they don't enjoy. If they've tried their utmost to find peace of mind in it, I don't see any future. Money shouldn't have anything to do with that. I don't believe in burning bridges out until you build the next one. But if you're an intelligent person, you should be doing something you're happy with. And be happy by being yoked with people that accomplish the same goal you have. If you yoke yourself with somebody that has a different goal than you do, it's not going to work too good because one's going to pull this way and the other one the other. And again, this doesn't necessarily mean marriage, all right? Paul was never married, if anyone knows of. No, he wasn't. And it has to do with fellow laborers. Okay, who are you going to yoke yourself with? I think we need to say a word on that. Who are you going to yoke yourself with? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here we go, chapter 6. Let's pick it up with verse 12. Paul, you know, the Corinthians were kind of ornery people in a way, like I guess a lot of us are at times. And Paul had to come down on them pretty good. So he says here in this 12th verse concerning the Corinthians, ye are not straited in us. What it's saying here is, you strain our relationship just a little bit. but ye are straited in your own bowels. Let me say that again. You don't necessarily strain our relationship, or it is not our relationship that strains you, but within your own selves you are strained. Your trouble lies inside you. Now think about that a moment. A lot of times you may have a problem, friend, and it may not be the relationship. It may be what's inside you. Verse 13. Now for a recompense in the same. What this is saying, recompense is payback, all right? He says, I've treated you good. For a recompense, I want a little payback, you know, and of course it's love that he wants. Recompense in the same. I speak as unto my children. In other words, I'm talking to you like you're one of my own relatives. This is home talk. This is house talk for my family. Be ye also enlarged. May your love enlarge to the point that it can return to the size of love that I'm putting out. I know that's not good English the way I stated it, but I think it gets the thought across. It's very difficult to translate it and have it say what Paul was saying. What he's saying was, hey, I've put a lot of time in on you all. It isn't my relationship with you that's straining you. It's what's inside of you, and it's my prayer that the love and appreciation and peace of mind can come into you where you can return, and not only that return, but that it will grow to the size of the love I have for you. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be yoked together with a jerk. All right? It's not good policy. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Zilch. There is none. And what communion hath light with darkness? Christ is the prince of light and Satan is the prince of darkness. They have nothing in common. And when you yoke to work together with some unbeliever to do a Christian work, you're kidding yourself. Let's get some legs. Let's get this right down where we are. If you have the truth in your mind and you know and you understand, you have eyes to see and ears to hear, and you're going to yoke yourself up with somebody that has not one iota thought of the truth to go do a good work, you're kidding yourself. That's bad, bad judgment. That person is going to confuse someone with tender ears about the time you begin to have the thought. You're kidding yourself. Verse 15. And what concord, what agreement, what contract hath Christ with Belial? Zero. None. They're enemies. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Do you know what an infidel is? It's an unbeliever. An unbeliever in what? Christ? No. The way of Christ, which is much more. You want me to say that again? An infidel is one that does not have eyes to see or ears to hear the way of Christ, the teachings of Christ. I'm not talking about someone that says, I love Jesus. Yes, I do, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. I'm talking about team yourself up with maturity or you're hurting your own self, all right? Now, 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Listen carefully. What is the temple of God? For ye are the temple. You're the body of the living God. Can the body of the living God then team itself up with an unbeliever and go out and accomplish something? Of course not. That's, quite frankly, spiritual adultery is what it is. Adultery means mixing, all right? As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's why that the yoke is light. Because not only is he on your shoulders to help with the load, he is even within you. And this is why that the strain on their relationship back in verse, what was it, 12. They were straitened. It was because of what was within them. It wasn't God. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. Wherefore came out from among them. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Did he say fellowship with a jerk? No, he said, come out and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Until you get through with the unclean thing, God don't want you. I know that may hurt, but it's the fact, my friend. And I'm a teacher of facts. And will be a father unto you. Oh, that's tender. He said, if you'll just come out, I'll be a father to you, your own father. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'm going to close where this word, suzugos, becomes an adjective. And it connects the Holy Spirit with the Son of Righteousness, which has to do with Christ's second advent. It's in the Old Testament. I'm going to say that again so that it's not in the Septuagint, but the same word, rather, is an adjective used to connect the Holy Spirit with the Son of Righteousness, as it is written in Malachi, the last chapter. I'll just simply say the last chapter of the Old Testament. It's real easy to find. And this will close. Chapter 4 and verse 2. Some of you are going to say, well, what if I'm all alone? I don't have anybody to yoke to me. You want to be careful, friend. Because you do, you just don't see Him. Because it is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is yoked with you. And you can accomplish a lot if it seems you're alone. When you recognize who the yoke is, and simply by wearing the yoke, you're yoked to, according to this adjective, Christ Himself. Verse 2. But unto you that fear... Let's get the first verse so we understand the negative part of this too. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. In other words, we're talking about the lake of fire at the end of the millennium, but also we're talking about the Lord's day when He returns and there's not going to be room for wickedness, all right? It's talking about Christ's second advent now in the second verse, and this is the verse we came here for. But unto you that fear my name, that means to revere the name of the Lord, shall the Son of Righteousness, which is to say Christ, arise with healing in His wings, and ye shall go forth. Ye and Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shall go forth as a team, as yoke fellow, and grow up as calves of the stall. Do you know what this means? You're freed from the stall. You're free to get out into the pasture. You're free to do something. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this. I'm going to take action, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. You have that Holy Spirit with you already, and you are yoked. And you can accomplish great things in this generation that was spoken of in Mark 13 concerning the delivering of the truth, or as it is written in the book of Joel, ye are the sons and daughters of the living God, if you will go to Him, if you will put His yoke on, and He is that yoke. It will make your burden light, because the power of your plowing will come from God Himself. And He shall turn the heart of the fathers and the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He's not going to smite this earth with a curse, because God's children are going to be yoke fellows. I I feel in a way that this is why God has so blessed this ministry internationally. A little old church in Northwest Arkansas, yeah, I can see faces that were here when this was a roller rink. And now, it spans the globe with the highest tech equipment that country folk can't afford. But as a family and yoke fellows, we have afforded it because God has made the burden easy. You know, well, it's such a job getting the work out. No, it isn't. Push the button and cover the world, honey, just like that. That's not hard. I don't even have to get out of the building. Push one button and talk to the world. The yoke has done that for us, beloved. We haven't done it. Do you understand what I'm saying? The yoke has done it for us because we put it on as willing yoke fellows. His word is so precious. Don't miss out on the happiness in this flesh. Don't just wallow through looking for some great day in the future. Enjoy every day of it. Live in Him. Find that peace of mind. Be somebody. Love Him. All right, Father, we thank You for the word. Be with us. We ask it in Yeshua's name. We thank You for the yoke. Amen, amen.